amazes me how a song with such great importance is oftentimes considered just a kid's song. And, you think of many of the things that you may have sung and learned as a child and very important lessons for you to keep in mind, and yet we oftentimes just let them fall by the wayside. And, that song is such a wonderful song for us to sing, and I appreciate Brother Ken for leading it in the worship services. We just don't sing it as much as we should. Once our kids get grown and we just don't think about it, but we need to be reminded of that wonderful love that Jesus has for us. You know, it's that love that Jesus has for us that makes our life truly worth living. I mean, if it were not for the love of Christ, the love of God, what in this world would there be that would be worth living for? You look at all the death and destruction and the hatred and all the disgusting things of this world, and the only thing that we have to hope for is that eternal life in heaven with God. And the only way that we can receive that was through the love of Jesus, that He went to the cross and He died for each and every one of us. And you know, as we think about the things that Jesus has done for us, it's important for us to think of what we should be doing for Jesus. Brother Jared talked about that it is a free gift, but there are expectations on our part. It's not that we're really giving anything back to God, but we are showing our love for Him in the things that we do. And really, when we look at our lives, we find that we allow ourselves to get so filled up with all the things of this world, and we allow the attitudes of this world to take over our life, to where we reach a point to where we're just not the people that God would have us to be. And so this morning I want to take some time to look at the thing that I think is necessary today, that it is time that we make time for God. You know, we go through life and people talk about having Bible studies or attending gospel meetings and you hear, I just don't have the time. My life is so busy, I've got so many things going on, I just don't have the time to serve God in the way that I'd like to. And what I want to say today is that it is time to quit saying, I don't have the time. And it is time to start making the time for God. God made everything for you. God gave you the gift of the death of His Son upon the cross. God has made a way of salvation so that when we sin, we can be forgiven. Don't you think we can make time for God? In Luke chapter 8, we have, of course, there the parable of the sower. And as we have this parable of the sower, we read of the Word of God being spread. It's described as a seed, and it falls on the four different types of ground. It falls on the rocky soil, the thorn, the good soil, and the wayside. And as we look at these, we see that each of these soils represents a particular type of person. But as we look there in verse 14, when Jesus is giving the explanation of the parable of the sower, there in verse 14 He says, "The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity." It seems that these are those that receive the word. And we can even get the idea that perhaps they obeyed the word, maybe. But they never bore fruit in the kingdom of God because they were always so caught up in everything the world has to offer. You know, when we look at life, and I've talked about this before, when we look at life and we've got all these different time-saving devices. I mean, we ride in cars that go 60 miles an hour and we get distances that used to take days. We get there in a matter of hours, minutes. What used to take hours to fix to eat because we had to go out and get the chicken and kill the chicken. We had to get the grain. We had to grind the grain. We had to do all this preparatory work and then you had to make everything. Now we just grab something out of a freezer that we bought from a store, pop it in a microwave, and presto, in a matter of moments, we have a meal. And yet still, we have no time. Because as this shows, we are caught up with the cares and the riches and the worries of this life. And when we continue to allow the things of this world to take over our life and remove the time that we have for serving God, the more we allow that, the further we're going to get away from God. And the less we're going to grow
as an individual Christian. And of course, the less we grow as an individual Christian, the less we grow as a local congregation. And so some things that we need to understand is that it takes time to grow spiritually. It's not an overnight thing. Some people look at preachers of the gospel and they go, man, I just wish I could have their knowledge. And it's like they just think, well, they go and they read their Bible through once and then instantly all that knowledge is there. It's not that simple. I wish it was. You know, it's not like it was in the first century where you had those that were given wisdom and knowledge as a spiritual gift. To me, that would have been the gift I would have wanted. I mean, speaking in tongues, that's great. Performing various miracles, that's wonderful as well. But to have this instant knowledge and the wisdom to use that knowledge, that to me is an amazing ability, a blessing that God had given. But for us today, it takes time. We look at doctors, and you want a doctor that's devoted his life to studying. And it's not like you just go in those 8 years and then you're a doctor and you never have to study anymore. No, one of the things that they have to do is they have to go and continually be trained in all the new avenues of medicine, all the new discoveries. They're like mechanics that have to go and be trained on all the new things that are coming out and the new ways of working on things. You want someone that's up to date, that is aware of these things, that continually studies. And we can see the time that it takes to do that. And why can we not see the time that it takes to grow spiritually? In 1 Peter chapter 2, there in verse 2, the Apostle Peter says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. You know, we need to have this kind of an attitude that we look forward to periods of Bible study. We look forward to opportunities to study from the Word of God. We look forward to the end of the day when we lay aside all the cares of this world and we sit down with the Word of God. But what do we oftentimes long for? The easy chair and a game. You know, turn on the television, watch a game, or watch a favorite TV show. We long for these things. That's what I can't wait till I can put my feet up at the end of the day and relax. Why don't we long for the Word of God? You see, it takes time to grow spiritually. And one of the things we need to understand is that time has to be managed properly. We've got to be careful in how we manage our time so that we can meet the end spiritually that we want to reach. That we'll hit the goal that we're aiming at. You know, you sit down with your children when they're going through school and as they get into high school, you begin talking to them, well, what do you think you might like to be when you grow up? What do you think you would like to have as a career option in your life? And they began to talk about the things that they enjoy. And so you begin looking through college brochures and you begin looking going, okay, well this is going to take this much time and you're going to have to study these particular subjects and really this college over here is a good one to go to for this particular field that you're wanting to go into. And we devote large chunks of time in our lives to try and direct our kids in a way that they'll be fruitful in this world. And we discuss with them the amount of time it's going to take to accomplish these goals. But how often do we talk to them about the amount of time they need to spend in the Bible? That they need to spend on spiritual things. And really, isn't, as Brother Jared aptly pointed out, isn't that the most important? I mean, yes, let's say that they decide, well, I want to be a doctor, and we go through and they go to the greatest schools in the land and they get a great degree and they go off and they have a good fellowship and they do the work and they become a very successful doctor and they retire and they've got a great retirement and they're living in just a wonderful place, great home, and they're well taken care of, and they die. What good did all that preparation do them? When you place all this focus on the job, the career, retirement, and no focus on God and His Word. You know, our children begin to learn from the youngest of ages by watching us. By watching us and how we devote our time to the Word of God. And they follow our example, don't they? I never realized how much I used the word stupid until Austin began using it. And I'm like, well, I know where he gets that one from. And I'll catch myself because he's following my example. And they need to learn from us how to manage our spiritual time. It's interesting when you look over in Luke chapter 15. We see there one that is described as having wasted his inheritance. And you know, there's a couple of different applications we can make from that. In Luke chapter 15, we have there in verse 11, it says, a man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them, and not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, God has given us all an equal blessing, hasn't He? Everybody gets 24 hours in a day. None of y'all wake up with just 22. None of y'all go through a day with just 20 hours. We all get the exact same amount of time in a day. And yet some seem to manage their time better spiritually. And when they reach a certain age, they are spiritually advanced, you might would say. They have studied the Word of God. They've dwelled in the Word of God. They've allowed the Word of God to dwell within them. And they are prepared for the difficulties that life throws at them. And then others who are the exact same age that had the exact same opportunity. They've had the Bible in their homes the exact same amount of time. They've had all the same opportunities. And they reach a point in time and they're just the same as they were when they first obeyed the gospel. They know that you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. They know that you need to go to church. And that's about it. What's the difference? Both had the same amount of time. Both had to work for a living. Both had to provide and take care of their family. Why did one do so much better? Because he didn't waste his living. It's interesting. We use the term prodigal son there. And it's interesting to look and to see exactly what prodigal means. Prodigal means squandered. It means wasteful. And I believe that if we would all look at our time and how we manage it, we might find that we are squandering our time. We are wasting our time in the things of this world, in things that hold no spiritual value. You see, our problem is often the problem of overcommitment. We have a hard time saying no, don't we? Someone asks, can you help me? No, I'm not going to help you. Do we say that? No. Yeah. Yeah, I can give you a hand with that. Just get done with that. Hey, I see you're just sitting there doing nothing. Can you come help me? Yeah, I can do that. And many of the things that we're doing, they're good, they're helpful, we're glad that we're able to help others, but we don't realize that we are committing so much of our time that we don't have the time that we should be giving in our own spiritual life. That we're giving so much to others that we find that we are like Martha. And Martha and Mary lived there in the house together, and Jesus came into the house, and Martha is just running around trying to make sure, you got something to drink? Is your drink full? You got something? Are you hungry? Can I fix you something? Can I get you a snack? Peanut butter and crackers? A sandwich? I've got some nice cake and ice cream. You want that? And this is what my grandmother said every time you walked through her door. She went through that list. You know, can I get you anything? We called her a food pusher. And that's really what she was. And that's Martha. And she was just being a good hostess. She had a large crowd in her house. And she was just making sure that everyone was taken care of. And that's the way that we oftentimes are in our own life. We're so busy taking care of everyone else. We're so busy worrying about everyone else. We forget ourselves. You ever fly in an airplane? You know the little spiel that they give you there at the beginning? What do they say? They say as soon as the oxygen masks drop, if there's a decrease in cabin pressure, as soon as the oxygen masks drop, put it on the other person. Is that what they say? No. You stick it on yourself first. Then you take care, because you might be trying to put it on your wife or your children, and you pass out and you both die. And that's oftentimes the problem spiritually, is we're so busy worrying about everyone else and we're caring for everyone else that we forget our own spiritual life. And we both end up being lost. The ones that we cared about and ourselves. That's why we need to be more like Mary as we look there in Luke chapter 10. As Martha comes to the Lord and says, "Can't you tell Mary to give me a hand here? I'm running myself ragged." Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her." Was it bad that she was being a good hostess? Isn't that what we want to be when we invite people into our homes? We want to care for them and make sure that everyone's taken care of. But Jesus was saying there's something more important going on than food and drink and comfort. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to His teachings. Jesus' time here upon this earth was limited. Mary was soaking up every bit that she could. And sometimes we worry so much about the things of this world, and we forget about that important thing, that good thing. There's one thing that should be of greatest importance in our life. There's one thing that we should be making sure that we don't overcommit to where we can't do that. That we learn to say no to the things of this world, to the television programs, to the after school programs. That when these things continue to come into our lives and increase the amount of time we're spending there and decrease the amount of time we're spending in studying the Word of God, we need to say no. But if my kids don't do all these things, all these extracurricular activities, they won't get into the college that they want to go to. Okay? So they go to a different college. Well, they won't get the degree that they're wanting to get, so they find a different field. Well, they don't make millions of dollars, so they make enough, and they live, and they survive, and they go to heaven. Isn't that more important? We're so worried about making sure that our children have a better life than we have, that we fail to see that we need to be making sure that they have a better spiritual life than we have. We need to make sure that we're not allowing ourselves to become overcommitted, that we're not busy here and there and running to and fro, and lo and behold, our spiritual life gets left behind and gets lost. You know, Jesus is that perfect example in so many things. And Jesus, can anyone on this earth say they were more busy than Jesus? In those 3 years that we have of His life where He was preaching and teaching, just going and going from before daylight to after dark, pressed by crowds, thousands of people vying for just a moment of His time, vying to just have Jesus lay their hands, or just striving to touch the hem of His garment. None of us can say that we are more busy than Jesus. But even Jesus understood the need for private devotion to His Heavenly Father. Jesus understood that He needed to set time aside to talk with God. Mark chapter 3, there in verse 20, we see that He came home and the crowd gathered again to such an extent that they could not even eat a meal. You've been in situations like that. You know, you're just so busy and you get to the end of the day and you're like, I didn't even have lunch today. I didn't even realize I was hungry until right now. You know, I was just so busy, I didn't think about it. Well, here, they had planned to eat, but everything was going on, and Jesus saw that these things were more important even than eating. We look further in Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. And it reads, "The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported Him all that they had done and taught. And He said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while.' For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves." Jesus set the example with the apostles. After they had done all these works and they had carried out the gospel and the Holy Spirit had performed these wonderful miracles, and they came back and they were talking to Jesus, and He said, "You need some time. You need some you time." He said, "Let's go off and let's find a private place." Once again, we overcommit ourselves trying to help everyone, running here and there, taking the kids to this function and that function and that function and that function and that function, to the point to where we spend 90% of our time in the car carrying the kids. That's why you see mom's taxi in the back of so many cars. Because that's what she feels like. Jesus says, you need to take some time to stop and rest for a moment. One of my favorite lines from the Lord of the Rings book is when Bilbo Baggins, he's gone through all these things and he's lived this life, this very full life. He's 111 years old. And he says, I need a holiday. And we think that a lot. I need a vacation. And then we get through the vacation and we pack that vacation with so many things. We get back and we go, I need a vacation for my vacation. Because we never took a break, did we? And we wonder why we're so stressed out. Why we have heart attacks. Why we have all these health problems. It's because we're so stressed. We never take that time. And what better time is there than to devote time alone with God? In Matthew chapter 14, we see Jesus having had a very busy day. He's fed 5,000 individuals. Actually, probably more than 5,000, because this was generally just the number of the men. But 5,000 individuals have been fed by the power of Jesus Christ. We find there in verse 13, when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. When the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. Now just wait for it. He's heard of the death of John the Baptist. He's grieving. A family member, his cousin, he's grieving the loss of a servant of God, the prophet that was preparing his way. And he just wants to be alone for a second. And they learn, what, Jesus landed here. And so they travel by land and they crowd around him. And he doesn't go, get away from me. He stops and he takes time. And you go further there in that same chapter there in verse 22. And after all of these things, it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Take note, evening, it's dusk. It's just becoming nighttime. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. The fourth watch was from around 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And he had spent all that time praying to God. Now, there are a lot of things that we could suppose. Perhaps he was thinking of his own own death that was coming. You know, seeing John had been put to death, he knew that his time was drawing near. It could have been that. It could have been just he was just worn out from the crowds and just needed some alone time with God. And we always talk about this me time. And what better me time is there than to pray to God and let God do some talking to you. To remove all the cares, to cast our burdens upon God, upon Christ. This is an example we find time and time again. In Mark chapter 1, there in verse 35, it says, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Jesus began his day by getting up early for the specific purpose of praying to God. We talk about we don't have time, and that's why I'm saying we've got to make time. We have the exact same amount of time as all these others that we see that are spiritually better prepared than we are. And we could learn from their example, especially the example of Jesus. We think, well, I just couldn't do without that extra 30 minutes of sleep. Well, go to bed 30 minutes earlier. Turn off CSI or The Mentalist or whatever it is that you're watching and go on to bed. so that you can get up early and start your day in a private devotion to God. That's what we see Jesus doing. If we look further there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. It was at this time that He went off to the mountain to pray, and He spent the whole night in prayer to God. In fact, when we look at these things, apparently this was the habit that Jesus had. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, Jesus Himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Jesus made time to serve the Lord. In fact, He had apparently had made such a practice of praying there in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says Judas also, who was betraying Him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with His disciples. He knew where Jesus would be. He knew the habit that Jesus had of going and praying and teaching in private. Now, just pause for just a second. I know we're not Jesus Christ. I understand that. But He is that perfect example. And you think of the example that your children are looking at. Do they know the times that you sit? Do you have a private time of devotion where you focus on the Word of God, and your kids know that at such and such time in the day, where's Mom? Oh, well, she's reading her Bible. Where's Dad? Well, he's sitting out there by the tree. He always likes to go out there and to read his Bible and to pray. Do they? Once again, our children are following our examples. They're looking to us. And if we're always devoted to our jobs and all these other things of this world, don't you think they're going to follow that example and be just that devoted, and they're going to have their lives just that cluttered? If you don't show them in your own life the need to separate and to give time and devotion to God, you see, one must take the time that he needs to commune with God, to sit down and to read from His Word. I didn't know my grandfather that much when I was younger because we lived so far away from him. I'd only get to see him in the summertime and at Christmas when we got to come home. So I don't know his practice before he retired, but we lived in the same area when I was in high school. And he loved spending his afternoons in the sunshine on that front porch reading his Bible. And my mom and dad live in that same house, and I can't pull up. And they talked about throwing away the rockers that were there because the seats were a little worn and they were getting old. And I was like, I'll take one of them, preferably the one there on the left. I'll take it. And Dad was like, no, I'm not getting rid of those. Because that's where I always remember my grandfather. And I hope and pray that my children can look. I remember my mother on Sunday morning. She'd be under, you remember the hair dryers that you'd sit up over your head? I remember the Favorite Hymns Quartet would be playing in the background. That was what we woke up to on Sunday mornings, to these gospel hymns. And you walk into the kitchen, and there was Mom with that dryer sitting on the table. She's sitting in a chair, that dryer on her head, and her Bible laid out. And she was preparing herself to worship God. I remember that. And I want my children to have memories of me sitting down with the Bible and reading. And I want my grandchildren to look and to know, well, you know, I just remember those times when Grandpa would sit down and would be reading the Word of God, or he'd open up his Bible and he'd tell us stories from God's Word. That's the kind of memories I want my children and my grandchildren to have. And the only way those memories will ever happen is if I am making the time to serve God and I am making it a priority in my life, and they can see that it's not some haphazard thing, but it's a regular, everyday thing. We've got to take time and we've got to exercise discipline, because there are so many things in this life that are trying to pull us, and there's so much fun. The movies are so funny. The TV shows, I love to laugh. And you know, there's, other than some of the writings of Paul, there's not really a lot of funny things that happen in the Bible. It's kind of funny with the story of Balaam and the donkey, and the donkey's talking to him. But even that's kind of violent, because Balaam's like, I'm going to kill you. And we enjoy laughing, and there's nothing wrong with laughter. Laughter, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine is what the psalmist writes. Jerry Clower lived by that. But we need to make sure that all these things of this world are not... It takes discipline. We've got to make sure that we're doing what we can. I do not like to diet. Now, kind of evident, isn't it? You don't know why? Because I don't like having to say, no, I won't have a couple of those cookies that you're eating there, Brooklyn. Honey, you want a piece of cake? No, I don't want that piece of cake. Do you know what? I have to. Or I'm going to die. When we see that, you have to say no. You have to exercise those table muscles of pushing the table away and saying, I'm done. I'm not full yet, but I'm done. And spiritually, isn't it even more important? A heart attack spiritually, where your spiritual heart dies and you just go with the world, isn't that so much worse? It takes exercise and discipline. Forcing ourselves to do that which we know that we should do, we really don't want to. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with that extra piece of cake in proper proportions. There's nothing wrong with sitting down and watching television. Nothing wrong with popping a movie into the DVD player and sitting down with the family and enjoying a quiet night at home with the kids. There's nothing wrong with going out to the movie theater and spending $800 on a thing of popcorn and some Cokes and movies and taking out a second mortgage on the home. There's nothing wrong with doing these things. But just like with the Twinkies and the Hostess cupcakes and the Oreo, double stuffed Oreo cookies and the double stuffed Elf fudge cookies. And I'm talking about some of my weaknesses here that we generally don't allow in the house. But there's nothing wrong with those every once in a while. In moderation. But it's good to eat healthy, isn't it? And is it not even more important that we give time to the Lord? We sing the song. There, take time to be holy. And as we look at these things, we need to learn to distinguish between that which is urgent. Helping someone may be urgent, but if it's taking the place of something that's truly important, that is, you're studying the Word of God, then we need to say, no, I can't do that right now. And as I was saying, as we sing the song, take time to be holy. Have you ever really listened to the words of the song? Really focused? I mean, that's kind of the problem. We focus on the notes and we focus on all these things and we fail to really see what the songwriter is trying to tell us. Look there. In taking time to be holy, he says, speak oft with thy Lord. Now you just pause for a second. Can you honestly say that you speak often with your Lord? I was kind of put in my place here recently. As I know I give my brother Jeff a hard time, and I talk about my family from time, but I love my brothers. I love my sister. I love my mother and my father. I do. I don't get to see them as much as I would love to see them. I really don't. But in my brother Jeff and I are both in the process of looking, and because we didn't talk to each other, we end up sending our resume to the same congregation. And a good friend of ours lives just 15 minutes from there, and she was like, don't you ever talk to your brother? I was like, well, probably not. And then I realized who I was talking to. She lost her brother but a year ago. Her only brother. And I know she was sitting there just wanting to just give me a piece of her mind, saying, I would give anything to talk to my brother. And you know what I did? I called my brother. We had a nice little chat. And then a little bit later, I realized I hadn't talked to my sister in a while. And so I called her, hey, how you doing? I don't speak often with my family. Dan, I do through the wonderful world of Facebook. But can it be said, when the preacher says, speak off with thy Lord, do you go, It's been a while. I'm not talking about when you sit down to eat and you're offering thanks, because that's just rote. We pretty much say the same thing. Thank you for this food. Bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. Amen. Or when we're getting our kids to say their prayers at night and we're trying to get them to, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I'm talking about how often do you stop and pray to God? That's what the songwriter is trying to get across. Part of taking time to be holy is speaking off with thy Lord. He says part of taking time to be holy is feeding on the Word of God. There's a little bit of a hobbit in Henderson's because we really like to eat. It's another, they eat breakfast and second breakfast and 11Z's and 12Z's and all these just meal after meal. I mean, it's like just every meal they're preparing for the next meal. And you get Henderson's together and that's kind of, you know, as soon as you push away from the table, like, well, we're going to get supper ready. Oh, okay, I'm going to go take a walk and I'll be back about time for it to be ready. Do we tuck into the Word of God like that? Just gorge ourselves on God's Word? Do we look at the Word of God as that big juicy steak that is just done to perfection? And we enjoy every last bite? Or do we look at the Word of God as that lunchtime meal where we learned in school you got 5 minutes to eat. And so you, okay, I read the Word of God today. I'm done. No, as Christians, if we're going to take time to be holy, we've got to truly feed on His Word. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. We follow the example of Christ. And spending time in private. All these things bring about the calmness in our soul because we're not overextending ourselves with the cares and concerns of this world. Why are so many Christians, and I say Christians with quotation marks, why are so many Christians so stressed? Because they're not doing any of these things. They're spending time talking to the people of the world and they speak often with the people of the world and do the things of the world. They feed on the things of the world and they're spending much time in their jobs and they're spending much time just doing all these things and they have no me time, they have no downtime, they have no relaxation time, they have no time where they say, God, I need You. They have no time where they just stop and cast away the things of this world and focus on God. And they're like Martha, worried and troubled about so many things when they needed to sit down and stop thinking for a moment about the things of the world and focus on God. The books of Timothy and Titus oftentimes are pointed out as great books for preachers, and I will wholeheartedly agree that any young preacher needs to be reading the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and to Titus. They give a lot of good insight. But you know what? It's kind of like those qualifications for elders. Isn't that just kind of a good way for every Christian to live? To live according to those things? Not so that they'll be qualified as an elder, but that's just a good Christian. That's all it is. And Paul, in writing to Timothy there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 15, he says, take pains with these things. I love that translation there. The idea of really, it takes a lot of effort. You gotta force yourself. You gotta push yourself. And then he goes, he says, you be absorbed in them. You be a bounty towel. The quicker picker-upper of the Word of God. You really soak up the things that are there. He says, your progress will be evident to all. That's kind of a scary statement there at the end, isn't it? Because people are watching us. And they're watching to see what kind of Christian you are now. And they're watching to see what kind of Christian you become. Sometimes the best thing we can do is stop for just a moment and ask ourselves, what progress have I made as a child of God? And sometimes after thinking about that for a moment, we have to go, have I made any progress as a child of God? Because there's no list of how we've progressed, how we've grown as a Christian. And as the Apostle Paul closed his letter to the church there in Corinth, he said, "You always be abound. You always be growing, abounding in the work of the Lord." I mean, immovable, steadfast. Are you abounding? Are you growing? Are you making the time necessary? I said this 2 weeks ago, and it just continues to grow in what I see that I need to do and what I believe others need to do. And taking some time away from the things of this world and all the things that draw away from our time, and taking time to focus on our holiness. Taking time to focus on our lives as Christians. Taking time to read and to study from the Word of God. To really devote time to worship to Him. Not on Sunday mornings alone, or Sunday evenings, or Wednesday evenings. But when's the last time you spent the night in prayer to God? When's the last time you spent an hour in prayer to God? Well, we're so bothered about the things of this world, I think we'd have plenty to pray to God about. Read His Word. Study it. Take pains with it. Be absorbed with the Word of God. If you find that you're not the Christian that you should be, then today is the day that you are given by God. Zion's call sweetly rings. The invitation is offered to you by Jesus Christ. He says, "You come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You come and you lay your burden of sin upon Him. If you've never obeyed the gospel, then you come and you confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You repent of your sins and you allow the blood of Christ to wash away your sins in the grave of baptism. But perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not grown as a child of God. You remain static, stagnant. And in the sight of God, you're something abhorrent. Then begin making time today to be holy by returning in faithfulness to God as we stand and as we sing.